Megan from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I firmly believe that in Christ, that through Christ, we truly learn who we are, that we truly come to understand exactly who we are in this world, and exactly who we are as we know that one day we will face everlasting life with God through Jesus Christ. So I believe that Christ helps us to understand who we are, and that this scripture passage points that out in so many different ways, in so many beautiful ways, striving to help us understand, just as Paul was trying to help those at Corinth in the church there, the early church, exactly who they were. So also the Word, through the Spirit of God, speaks to us. It says, this is who you are. This is who you are in Christ. He starts off by saying in verse 1, I remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news. You think, well, that's nice. He's reminding them of the good news, the gospel message, the gospel lesson, and that's important. But then, as Christians, as those who bear Christ into the world, as those who strive to learn more about God, I believe that God is always interested in reminding us of the good news, the fact that Christ died for our sins, that Christ rose so that we might have everlasting life, that through Christ we are forgiven, that through Christ we are fully loved. All these things, I believe each and every day, many times a day, that God reminds us of who we are, reminds us of the good news of Jesus Christ, and keeps us focused on that when there are so many other things that can and do distract us, that God is reminding of us, this is who you are. This is the good news. This is the gospel. You are people of the good news. He continues on, and he says, I proclaimed you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand. You have received the good news. You've accepted that. That's who we are. That's who you are. You've received the good news. You've accepted that good news. And then you stand in the good news. In other words, it becomes a way in which you face the world, the way in which you confront the world, the way in which perhaps even you strive to change the world. We stand in the midst of the good news. We stand in the midst of what God has accomplished. We stand in the midst that no matter what, redemption is always possible. That is the faith in which we stand. If God can redeem me, if God can save me from my sins, God will indeed redeem anyone who turns to God, faith in Jesus Christ. Through the blood of the Lamb, we are redeemed. That is the conviction in which we stand. That is how we approach the world. No situation is hopeless because redemption is what God does. Redemption is what God does. And so if we're wondering, who am I? We're people of the redemption. We're people who always present redemption, salvation, as a possibility, as something that can happen no matter what, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances as well. That is who we are in Christ. That is why Christ died a death on the cross, so that we might be the people that stand with that hope each and every day. And he continues on, you are being saved if you hold firmly to the message. You read that verse and you go, wait a minute. We are being saved. And then he says, if you hold firmly to the message. Wait a minute. I thought it really wasn't up to me. I thought we're saved by faith, and faith is a gift from God. Faith is a sign of God's grace given to us. All we do is accept that. And then even though we're weak and even though at times our faith falters, that we still can move forward. And so now it says you are being saved if you hold firmly to the message. I think Paul understood exactly what Paul was saying. I think he was encouraging them to stand firm in every situation. He was also encouraging them to understand that every step that we take throughout life, every step needs to be redeemed. Every step needs to have got the knowledge and the presence of the saving Christ as a part of that. And so as we are living out our lives, we are helping to save, to redeem, and we hold firm to the message of Jesus Christ, the message that God loves us, that God seeks out those who are lost, those who are alone, those who are without hope, and that we are the messengers of hope. And so therefore, we are in the process of being saved as we are in the process of saving every moment, of redeeming every moment with the grace and faith of Jesus Christ, and we are holding firm to the message. Many times in life, that's all we can do, is hold firmly to the message. God loves us. Christ redeems us. Christ died for our sins. Christ will come again. We can hold firmly on to that message, and we know that no matter what is swirling all around us, that God is in the process of saving that situation as well, of redeeming that situation, of offering salvation in the midst of that situation as well. And so that is who we are, that no matter what, we hold firmly to that message of good news, the gospel message. We hold firmly to that with the understanding that God is bringing us forward and that God is bringing others forward as well, forward in the faith, forward in the understanding of God, forward in the understanding of what redemption and salvation is all about. He says in verse 3, for I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried in the third, and was raised on the third day. As first importance, the priorities of life. I believe that as Christians, I believe that you as Christians have the gospel message, the message of salvation and redemption, as first importance in your life. Now you might say, I think I do. I'm not sure. You know, I love my family, and my family means so much to me, and I love myself, and I love different things, but I know that I love God, but first importance, well, we're examining today who we really are. We're examining today what this scripture says about who we really are. Then we hear the words of Paul, and we realize if we are defining ourselves, If we're trying to figure out who am I, then we realize the gospel message is of first importance in how we live out our lives, first importance in how we deal with family and our loved ones, how we deal with ourselves in every situation, how we deal with disaster and pain and suffering and all the other things that are part of living out life. First importance for us as Christians, first importance for you is to hold firm in the message, hold firm in the knowledge that Jesus Christ lived with us, that he was killed for our sins, that he was resurrected so that we might know everlasting life, and that Christ will come again. First importance is that message of salvation, the message of the love of God for all of God's children. That's of first importance. That's who we are. That is who we are as we live out our lives here upon the earth. And he continues on and he says that Christ appeared to all these different ones, Cephas, and then to others, and then even to the 500, as he says. And then in verse 8 he says, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Untimely born. That would be all of us. We are untimely born. We could have been born during the time of Christ. And have you ever wondered about that, what it would be like to be born in the time of Christ? To be there when Christ was walking along the shores, to be there and hear Christ, to see the miracles. Have you ever wondered where you would be in the midst of that situation? Would you be one of those who scoffed, or would you be one of those who believed? Would you be one of those who would go to see Christ just because he was performing miracles, because it was the greatest show on earth to see Christ perform miracles? Or would you be one saying he performs miracles because he is the Messiah? And you would have faith in Jesus Christ. We don't really know, but we also realize we won't have that opportunity unless Christ comes again while we are still living here on earth. Then we won't have that. So we understand what Paul is saying as to one untimely born, but he says, he appeared also to me. If we're asking ourselves that question, who am I? Who am I as a Christian? Who am I as a disciple? I would say, you're one to whom Christ will appear. You know, I'm going to see Christ. I say, well, Christ is all around us. Christ is always with us. The power of the Holy Spirit, we say, we believe that as we worship, two or three gathered in his name, the Holy Spirit is with us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three. Christ is here with us. Christ is appearing to us. I believe in many different situations in life that we are those, that you are a person who understands the presence of Christ, who sees Christ in every situation, because Christ is in every situation. That is who our Savior is. Now, for Paul, he appeared in a very dramatic fashion. Sometimes Christ appears to us in dramatic fashion, but Christ is always there. He appears to us as we live out our lives. We are those who see Christ in the world. He continues on in verse 9, I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, unfit to be called one who is sent out into the world with the message, with the good news, with the message of salvation to the world, one who is sent out with the message of redemption, that redemption is always possible, that God loves you no matter what. God is here to redeem you and make you indeed one of his own. That we sometimes view ourselves as unfit to be one who is sent out with this holy message to have on our lips. That sometimes we feel like, I'm not worthy. I'm not fit to be sent out. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle of Jesus Christ. And Paul felt that, but then Paul also understood that he was indeed an apostle, that he was indeed one who is sent out into the world with the message of God, that he is indeed that. You are also that person. If you're asking yourself, who am I? Then you can add to that list, I am not only a disciple of Jesus Christ, I am an apostle of of Jesus Christ. Because just as Christ, I believe, is of first importance in your life, then Christ will also be on your lips and through your actions so that others can see Christ, so that others can encounter Christ. And therefore, you are sent into the world to bear the good news, to represent Christ in all that you do. That is who you are. That is who we are in Christ. And then he says in verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain." What a marvelous, amazing, wonderful scripture. This has to be one of my favorites. You're going, okay, you got this long list of favorites, but I love this verse. So repeat after me, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Very good. And then repeat, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. And his grace in me has not been in vain. Isn't that an amazing verse? I am what I am by the grace of God, and his grace has not been in vain. That is who we are. We are the people of grace. We are the people of grace of God. We are the people who come exactly as we are because we know that we might try to wear masks, we might try to hide who we really are, but we cannot hide that from God. And we come before God's presence exactly as we are. I am what I am, dear Lord. And then God's grace is added on to that. By God's grace, we are truly transformed. By grace in God, we know indeed that we are changed and that we are the people through whom the grace of God has not been in vain. That the grace of God has not been in vain in our lives because we are those who bear the message of Christ, who make a difference in the world, who step forward in the midst of hopelessness and offer the hope, the redemption, the salvation of God in the midst of that. We are those who say, yes, but God loves you just as God loved me. And God's grace is available to you because God's grace is never given in vain. By God's grace, I am what I am. And he continues on. And he talks about working harder than anyone else. And he says, "Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." That's who we are. We are those people who know that we have to step out in faith. Even when we're not sure exactly what exactly we should do. Even after we pray about it, we say, "Lord, is this what you would have me to do?" And we're still thinking, and we're still filled with anxiety, and we might be filled with fear over what we're supposed to do. But then we step forward, knowing that God will take our frightened efforts and make them into something great through God's grace. Grace, the gift of God given to us. Through that grace, God will say, "Yes, but I will have you accomplish greater things than you could imagine. I will take your feeble, frightened efforts and add my grace to it, and then you will see transformation. Then you will see who you really are in Christ, how powerful you are in the midst of bringing the message of Christ, of being the hands and feet of Christ in a world that is seeking answers, seeking solutions, that it's not us, but God working through us in every way. So he ends by saying, "So we proclaim, and so you have come to believe." We say, "Who am I?" Then I believe the scripture says we are the ones who proclaim the love of Christ and the good news so that others will believe. Not just so that, but indeed that others will believe. That is the result of living a life as a Christian. That is the result. That is the result of having the gospel message as first importance in our lives. That is the result of who we are, that others come to believe as well. That is who we are. Years ago, I was standing in a department store, and I was trying on a raincoat. And I was pleased with how well it fit me. So I was standing there in one of those big panel mirrors, you know, standing there looking at it, and I was thinking, okay, I think I can buy this. About then, one of my church members walked up. She was very nice, very outgoing, very talkative, great church worker. She was exactly my age. Her husband was a physician in town, and so she had a lot of means of helping other people, and she was always doing things for others and such a great worker and all, everything else. And so she walked up, she started talking to me and everything, just being her normal, friendly, cheery self. And so then she was looking at the raincoat, I could tell, and I said, I think I'm going to buy this because it really fits me nice and everything. She's looking at me and she said, you know, you and I, we have a lot in common. She said, we're both at that age where we're just starting to say, I am what I am, you know. This is me. You know, I might try to change some things, but basically I just am what I am. And she said, it's that age of self-acceptance. And she said, isn't it great? And I said, yes, it is. It's nice when you get over some of the fears of things and who you are, and you realize, I am what I am. And she said, it is great. But she said, I believe in self-acceptance, but don't buy that raincoat. It looks hideous on you. I said, okay. So I didn't buy the raincoat. And I think that's also a part of who we are. We are who we are. The grace of God has not been in vain in our lives. But that doesn't mean that we can say, I am what I am, and I'm happy with it. I'm going to stay put right here. Because we all know a part of being a disciple, a part of being an apostle, a part of having that knowledge that Christ is of first importance in our life is to grow in Christ as well. We are not static in our Christianity. We are always moving, always growing, always doing more, always seeking to understand. That's why we come to worship, to praise God in the presence of God, to praise God in the presence of other Christians, to grow with other Christians as we encounter the world, as we encounter difficulties, as we try to indeed to minister to others. That's why we read God's Word. That's why we pray in God's Word. That's why we understand and seek more understanding. Because we can say, by God's grace, I am what I am. By God's grace, I know that God loves me for exactly who I am. God loves you for exactly who you are. And that God also loves you for who you will be each and every day as we continue to grow in Christ. Let us pray.